February 29th, 2004. It's a Watt from Pedro show.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show. That was Destroy All Monsters with Meet the Creeper off this off this 3-disc collection called Beyond the Pale. Destroy All Monsters, Niagara. Ron Ashton from the Stooges, and Mike Davis from MC5. Who's on drums? Let me see here. Rob King on drums. Before that, we started off with some live John Coltrane, 1961, out of Copenhagen. Delilah, Mr. Eric Dolphy on bass clarinet there, too. Much respect to Chris Reese for flowing that. He flowed me 12 CDs of live John Coltrane from 61 to 63.
Awesome.
Yeah. And another 12 are coming of 64 to 67 stuff. So that's so great. You can imagine the tape recorders they used to bring into the pads there. No microphones in the sunglasses, that's for sure. No stealth
tapers.
Yeah. Wheel it in. Wheelbarrow. It's been 6 weeks.
Many moons since the last episode.
Yeah, the Wyatt from Pedro Show. But I have not been sitting on my duff. I've been, I just got done with the new Second Man album. Second Man's Middle Stand. It should be in the stores April 27th, I hear. From the company, I brought it in Friday. They were tripping. The first thing the product manager, Peter Fletcher, says is, "Great gates of Kiev," which would make sense if you from the 70s and went to an Emerson, Lake & Palmer gig, right? Because they did Mussorgsky's Pictures on Exhibition. That's the big finale tune. So I laughed. Of course, the younger guys there didn't know what the hell he was talking about. I mean, you know, people's points of reference is okay. You got a bass, organ, drum band. Yeah, you're from the 70s, you're going to think ELP, I guess. Tony Platt, my pool man friend Tony Platt, told me ELP is torn again.
Oh, wow.
No, not ELP. It's Keith Emerson and the Nice, the band he had before ELP. It's a trio. Not as much synth, more... organ and piano. But
so you had
he lives in Santa Monica.
So you had the cool full-on Pedro recording experience, Pedro
absolutely.
Band.
There's nothing like making a record where it's only 5 minutes from your pad. Let me move the mic here. Oops, sorry about that. Didn't mean to pop. to like just take a few minutes to go down the street to Karma Studio there on 6th Street. And then when done, 6-7 o'clock, just come back. That was happening. Of course, there's a diary of the recording session up on the Hoot page if you want to read about it. I haven't posted up the mix days yet because I haven't had any time. I have been going every day. Even today, I went up to L.A. to take pictures of Pat Trebek. I have pictures of Pete Jer and Pat, the people who played on the record. Well, Pet didn't play, she just sang. Because the big number on this record is 3, and the way we do it live is me and Pete, you know, doing all the singing. But I wanted my voice against their two other voices, so I had Petra come in and sing with Pete for the choruses and stuff, so we'd have the 3. So 3's the heavy thing. 9 songs. Some people on the Watt list were kind of bumming. 9 songs, and we waiting all this time for 9. But let's just... Let me tell you this, it's a much different record for me, and those 9 songs add up to 53 minutes and 10 seconds, which is my longest record, except for Double Nickels, maybe, which had 45 seconds. So, it's intense. One song's 7 minutes. There's one 3-minute song, but they're all around 6. So, it's quite a different thing for me in a lot of ways. I used effects on my bass, big fuzz tone, envelope filters, straight bass too, but I've never really got into effects that much, and so this is the first time. Without the guitar, you can do this, you know, there's a lot more room. I wrote drum parts and the organ parts, but I got to say, Pete Mazich, Jerry Trubetich really lent themselves to the interpretations and put a lot of their own personality in, which was so great. I was so proud of them when I heard the end thing there after mixing it.
Awesome.
They really did good, both those guys. Their first real album, you know. And they kicked up some major dust, man. It
That's
was happening.
Cool.
Much respect to them. And Michael, too, down at Karma. That was great. That was great to him. He was really a pleasure to work with.
Yeah, he's awesome.
No attitude, no bunkness, you know, that some of this stuff you have to deal with some people in the racket, you know? And
so nice, cozy place.
Yeah. It's so sad that they're bailing.
Yeah, yeah.
So sad. But Joe Biza and I did a gig, a Banyan gig, Friday, and Nels was out of town, so Joe Biza filled in for him, and Joe Biza told me somebody's going to buy that studio, so maybe we'll still have a Pedro recording place.
That'd be good.
That'd be great.
A nice spot there.
It would be great. In between, somewhere in the midst of the recording, first week of Feb, I went back to Michigan. I didn't go back, but I went to the Midwest in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and played with the Stooges. We recorded a Junior Kimbrough song for a Fat Possum tribute record. And also, Ron showed us some new stuff he wrote. And even though I was all injured with the hurt forearm, by the way, that's healing up. Still not pedaling or paddling. Jonesing like a motherfucker. But, you know, I'm down here every morning.
Yeah, I've been digging on your photos.
Okay. I'm still taking pictures of the sunrise and stuff. I miss it so bad. And there's a bike chained up over here, so I have to look at that, you know. But I just don't want to re-hurt it, so I'm going to wait. And, yeah, I love the sunrise. So I've been flowing your shots.
Yeah. It's amazing that you're able to jam the way that you do with your hand still hurting.
Yeah. The forearm, well, it's a lot better. Like those, I just did two banging gigs, and I just did a second banging gig. I played a benefit for a skate park Saturday here in Pedro. In fact, I needed one more day of mixing. Came up a little short. We're going to have to do all of Paradise in one day. So this young man from Huntington Beach was going to record. He had a day scheduled, Michael. And I pleaded with the man, can you please trade me? And I said, if you to put in the offer to make it better, I'll play on your record. So I recorded two songs with him and then went right up the street and did the skate park gig.
Cool.
Yeah, his name is Pat. Pat Gallagher, I think. And Duska has a little construction company, so music's like a side mouse thing for him. But there were some neat songs.
Cool.
One was called God's Left Hook. It was Now My Man or something. It was a trippy song. Can't remember it exactly. You know, it was a couple days ago. Another one was called Desire, and that was trippy. They're good stuff. So, you know, the barter system. It works.
Cooperation.
Yeah, so he was mighty righteous to do that.
That's cool, and the skate park gig went cool.
Yeah, made some money for the park. That was down. Because Pedro needs a skate park, so the skaters won't get hassled.
Yeah.
You know?
No crime.
Get some expression out there. So that's what I've been doing these weeks, and sorry I've been away from the Watt from Pedro show. There was some technical difficulties with the site work, folks. They didn't even realize it. So I was offline for a week or two.
Oh, but now it's fully up. All the archives and everything again. Huh?
Yeah.
Cool.
So that's happening. Much respect to SiteWorks. And I leave the 17th of March to do three gigs in Japan with the Stooges. And then I come back for a couple days and then go off to England with the second man. Well, actually, with the second man and the John and Terry show, because it's the All Tomorrow's Parties in the UK,
cool.
All sold out.
Cool.
Resort Watertown, 60 miles south of London. And they wanted me, Tortoise is curating it, and Tortoise asked for both bands. Doug McCombs, cool people, bass player. Tortoise asked for me to play with Second Man, but also for me to play with John Materi Show. So same drummer in both bands. But Second Man will have Pete on the organ, of course, and then Tom Watson on guitar for John Materi Show. And I haven't done those songs in a while, so me, Jaron, and Tom are going to practice up. And for the Second Man, it's going to be the debut. First time I play the whole Second Man's middle stand piece in its entirety. So that'll be the debut. That'll be a trip.
So they do the All Tomorrow's Party a little different over there, huh? Everybody's with their tickets locked in the resort for the whole time.
Yeah, they're like camping out. It's also two weekends separated by a week, right, which is a trip. So this first one is Tortoise, and then the second one is second weekend is Sonic Youth. So that's wild. This guy named Barry Hogan who puts this on, and he's very cool people.
Yes.
Very, very happy. He's the guy who put on the one.
Yeah.
At
it's a cool
Queen Mary in London.
Style.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You don't see any of the stupid sponsoring and logos everywhere, and it's just about getting some bands in front of folks.
Like the curator aspect, too.
Yeah. Speaking of curator, Raymond was telling me he's going to New York City today, but he's got something at the Getty. They asked him to curate a month or two, put on gallery. Yeah, it's a trip.
Wow.
Now we're talking about new movies. We're thinking of filming Richard II, William Shakespeare.
Wow.
And also Batman and Robin Hood, myself and Gomez Bueno, the Spanish artist who lives here in town. So, got some things planned coming up.
Cool.
It looks like because the record will drop April 27, that's when I'll start the next Second Man tour. And being so late in the spring, coming on summer, I think we'll only do 4 weeks. And finish up at the end of May. And then I'll go out and do 3 gigs with the Stooges in Scotland, Ireland, and England. And then a few weeks later, go back to Europe with the Stooges and do on the continent there with Germany, Italy, France, Greece, new for what? Serbia. New for what? So, looking forward to some stooging out. And then they're talking about an album. So, wild. Much respect. Really. Even though it was snowing and in the teens, for a Cali guy, kind of tough there in Michigan, getting to stay with Ron Ashton, that was great. He was the host with the most post. No, he was great. It was happened staying there with him in the pad. He's very cool people. Much respect to Ron Ashton. And Scotty was across the way, the Super 8, and getting to play with him every day. Saw the Super Bowl with Ron. I saw the Timberlake Jackson thing at the halftime. So you're sitting there like, oh, man. And I can't tell you the last time I sat and watched the Super Bowl, but sitting there with Ron, it was pretty cool. Bon Pizza, some Ann Arbor pizza. I can't remember the company, but sitting there and had the oatmeal for me every day. Of course, he got up like at noon or something. But had my cracking on. I remember the first time I tried to take a walk, I had to turn back, man. It was like a block or two, and it just rolled me up. I just could not take it. I mean, it was cold. Only one day of sun, and even that day was gold. And unfortunately, I had to come back and mix the album because a couple days later, they had an art show in Detroit. Ron and Iggy, they did paintings, and which were great. Ron finished this one of Dave Alexander the night before I got there. It happened. I never thought those guys were artists, but pretty good stuff. Nels Klein. I did get to play with him last Sunday, Pete Piazza's Banyan. And he gave me a CD. He wrote a piece for Raymond Pettibone. It's called Perish the Thought. Now, This is supposed to be for a 4-channel sound installation. But we only have stereo here. Nels played everything. And like I said, he dedicated to Raymond Pettibone. He was much worthy of that. And I told Raymond he was... he was pretty overwhelmed. And he's going to give Nels a drawing. So here's Parrish the Thought, Nels Klein, Watt from Pedro Show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show. That was Twisted Roots, a band Paul Rossler had in the early 80s with Pat Smear, his sister Kira, Maggie on singing, and Emil on drums. Paul was in the Screamers. Of course, Pat was in the Germs. Don Bowles wrote me an email. He said him and Pat jammed some Germ songs for the first time since December 4th, 1980.
Wow.
December 3rd, I think, the last gig. A couple days before Darby died. And I almost died of pneumonia. It was a heavy time there. Lee Joseph over at Dionysus, we released the Twisted Roots album, and that's Mommy's Always Busy in the Kitchen. And before that, we had Devin Hoff with Good for Cows. That's the name of his band. Just a two-piecer. Him on bass. And Chess Smith on drums with a song called Tragedy and Farce off their new record. I think it's called Less Than or Equal To. I'm pretty sure that's what it's called. And the connection between Devin and the gentleman before him, Nels Cline. Well, Devin's bass player for Nels Cline Singers. And we start off that set of music with Nels Cline, a song for Raymond Pettibone called Perish the Thought. Fortunately, we don't have the four-channel system set up to deliver you a piece in the form it was intended, but it's had some pretty severe stereo going there, huh, Brother Matt?
Yeah, extreme stereo.
Yeah. And you were saying it sounded like something that would be for Raymond, right?
Yeah, that was really an appropriate or accurate depiction, musical depiction, I guess.
Yeah. Speaking of Twisted Roots, the bass player Kira, me and Kira yesterday did a song for Kel Johansson's album. We sang on, we were the singers, Kel's band. Kel used to play for Urinals for years and years. Through their name changed to 100 Flowers, and then the name back to the Urinals. And then he ventured on his own. He's got his own band now, and he's recording an album. And this was a song about, it was like kind of a tour spiel. Yeah, like his version of 30 Days in the Hole or something. So, or Hey Lottie Mama. Here's a Long Beach band I'm going to play you here called Freddy's Four Fingers. And a nice, sensitive, tender, romantically themed tune called World War III here on Watt from Pedro Show.
just crazy about the apocalypse.
What from Pedro Show. Ooh, a little echo there. Sorry about that. That's from Oakland, Giant Haystacks with The Biggest Mistake. And we start off with, of course, World War III from Freddy's Four Fingers, Long Beach Band. Damn, I was going to play another Long Beach. Well, actually, they're Orange County, I think. But the guy gave me the disc at the P. Piazza's there in Long Beach. So we'll start off the second hour with that. Got some nice weather here, huh, by the way?
Yeah, it's excellent. Sun? Excellent.
And this whole, days are getting longer.
Yeah, that's great. Creeping back.
Creeping back.
February's always got the awesome, like, secret days after the stormy weather. Get some 80-degree days coming in.
Yeah.
So you're doing another Long Beach Band thing. Speaking of Long Beach bands, huh?
Yeah.
The Sublime?
Oh, yeah, I got to tell you about that. I've been invited to be on a tribute compilation. I'm going to do something with Petra and Perkins. They gave me six songs to choose from, so you like the one, The Work We Do?
Yeah, Work That We Do.
Okay, the work that we
last
do.
Year here, you can listen to them while I spin
do
cycle.
Your spin cycle? Okay. Folks, it's the end of the first hour, February 29, 2004, Watt from Pedro Show. Hang tight, please, for hour two, coming right up. February 29, 2004, it's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Oh, Just like a clock without hands, there'd be no tick-tock. Just like a house without a door, there'd be no need to knock. Just like a pen with no ink, it cannot write. But if you come back to me, everything will be alright. Just like a candle with no flame, it will not burn. Just like children without books, they cannot learn. Just like a lamp without a switch, it cannot light. But if you come back to me, everything will be alright.
Take me.
Watt from Pedro Show. That was Abby Travis with Blythe. Blythe is a town in the Mojave, the desert out here. When you're heading towards Arizona, that's the last big town before the border, the Colorado River. Anyway, Abby's got some new stuff. She gave me that CD of her new things. Before that, Marvin Gaye with Just Like. And I don't know what the name of the first song was, what we started the second hour of the Wild from Pedro Show with. Because this young man...
Jack and Pete.
Yeah. Jack and Peter. That's all it says on the CD. That's three songs.
Cool.
That was pretty good, whatever the name of the song was. Thank you, Jack. And good luck to you and Peter there. There's a phone number written. Maybe I should call them and see what the names of the songs are. 714, so they're OC band, I guess. Pretty good stuff. Anyway, you're getting a little mellow there. These Abby and Marvin there. So I'm very excited to bring Brother Matt aboard with some spinning cycle.
Cool. Bring your song out of that mellow feeling.
Kick it up.
The spins.
upper continental finger stool. Nurse, adrenaline doctor? Dr. Benway. The night porter shut it all up for kicks. He looks around and picks up one of those rubber vacuum cups at the end of a stick they use to unstop toilets. He advances on the patient. Make an incision, Dr. Limpy says to his appalled assistant. I'm going to massage the heart. Dr. Limp shrugs and begins the incision. Dr. Benway washes the suction cup by swishing it around in the toilet bowl. Nurse, should it be sterilized, doctor? Dr. Benway, very likely, but there's no time. He sits on the suction cup like a cane seat, watching his assistant make the incision. You young squirts couldn't lance a pimple without an electric vibrating scalpel with automatic drain and suture. So we'll be operating by remote control on patients we never see. We'll be nothing but button pushers. All the skill is going out of surgery. All the know-how and make-do. Did I ever tell you about the time I performed an appendectomy with a rusty sardine can? And once I was caught short without instrument one and removed an uterine tumor with my teeth. That was in the upper appendy, and besides, the wench is dead. Dr. Limp, the incision is ready, doctor. Dr. Benway forces the cup into the incision and works it up and down. Blood spurts all over the doctors, the nurse, and the wall. The cup makes a horrible sucking sound. Nurse, I think she's gone, doctor. Dr. Benway, well, it's on a day's work. He walks across the room to a medicine cabinet. Some fucking drug addict has cut my cocaine with Sani Flush. Nurse, send the boy out to fill this RX on the double. Dr. Benway is operating in an auditorium filled with students. Now, boys, you won't see this operation performed very often. There's a reason for that. You see, it has absolutely no medical value. No one knows what the purpose of it originally was, or if it had a purpose at all. Personally, I think it was a pure artistic creation from the beginning. Just as a bullfighter, with his skill and knowledge, extricates himself from danger he has himself invoked, so in this operation, the surgeon deliberately endangers his patient, and then, with incredible speed and celerity, rescues him from death at the last possible split second.
Thank you, Uncle Bill. Oops. As William S. Burroughs, reading some of his Naked Lunch. Before that, we had the Blue Orchids with the Disney Boys. Michael Eisner, clock is ticking for that cat. Brother Matt, thank you much for the spin cycle.
Cool.
Christy's come to join us.
Welcome.
Across the street.
Hello, thank you.
And we're at the end of the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show. Holt, February 29, 2004.
Leap Day special.
Hold tight for hour three. February 29, 2004. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show, and here's part seven of the incredible adventures of Jack Flanders.
And now, for today's thrilling adventure, A Fine Day for Frumborks. Jack Flanders has been given a large, overstuffed green velvet chair. When he sits in the chair, he finds himself in another realm where great winged sailing ships fly the skies. After numerous adventures with pirates and wizards, including the loss of his dear old friend Dr. Missoula, Jack is beginning to question whether it is wise to return to that mysterious realm.
Listen to me, Flanders! Don't come back! You hear me, Flanders! Don't
Come back!
Don't worry. I'm not sitting in that chair again. I've had it with this... midnight. The chair. It's becoming alive again. Drawing me to it. Oh, no. No, you don't. Not this time.
Our hero gallantly fights the strange magnetic pull of the hungry chair. Jack grabs the sofa and hangs on. He grabs the door jamb, the floor lamp, the end table, the potted philodendron.
I'm sorry, Phil.
As a last resort, he digs his heels into the carpet. But alas, to no avail.
I'm sitting down again.
Suddenly, as though sucked across the room, come all the objects taken from that other realm. The Marquis' cloak, his top hat, his book on spells, and the magic sword. Captain Swallow.
I'm happy to see you, Flanders.
Really?
We have just a little problem.
We do, huh?
Little Frida.
What happened?
A sorcerer grabbed her one night.
Grabbed her?
It was in Madmazula's pass. That crazy sorcerer, flick, and she'd be gone from the deck.
Did you say Madmazula?
Or not to be confused with Dr. Mazula.
Are they related?
Half brothers.
How can I
said to myself... Captain Swallow, of all the lads you know, when it comes to sending someone to battle a half-crazed sorcerer, who's the first that comes to mind?
Flanders.
Right you are.
Thanks. Well, what do I do now?
We got us a tactical problem here. Mad Mazula has a tower perched atop the pass. The winds be fierce up there. A Scargallion would be flung against the mountain wall by the terrible winds.
But... is it possible to maybe scale the walls of the pass?
Possible, but not with that lunatic conjuring in his tower, flinging lightning bolts down at you.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
What we need is a Frombok.
A Frombok?
Aye. Only a great-winged reptile such as that can maneuver them winds, dodge them lightning bolts, and deliver a brave one such as you to battle Madmazula.
Yeah, but how do I battle a sorcerer?
One step at a time.
Huh?
First, we need to catch a Frombok.
Yeah, but isn't that a little difficult?
Not when you use the proper bait.
Oh, well, what do you use for bait?
We trolls for a Frombok, you see. We have us a sturdy pole hanging off the stern of the ship here.
Yeah, I see, but what do you...
Come over here, Flanders.
We secures the bait on a rope and lets it out behind the ship as we move through the morning sky.
Morning.
Aye, the Fromborks come out to feed then.
Well, that sounds terrific, but...
Any questions?
What do you use for bait?
Good question. Let us take a journey down memory lane.
Huh?
Back to the dive where you let me Frombok loose.
Captain, I didn't let it loose. A cannonball hit the cage and it sprung
the
lock.
But the Frombok chose you to carry off.
Yeah, because I was standing closest to the cage. That's all.
But once you freeze a Frombok, they remember you forever. They always return to pay their respects.
Pay their respects?
It's for the good of little Frida, you understand.
Oh, sure.
Jack is secured to the end of the rope. The line is let out far beyond the stern as the ship slowly moves through the sky, trolling for the great winged reptile known as the Frombok. Finally, after several hours without success...
Frombok, ho!
Captain, the crow's nest, spotted one.
Aye, prepares to net the Frombok.
Prepares to net the Frombok.
Reel in the bait.
Reel in the bait.
Look alive.
Look alive.
Steady with the net.
There she comes.
Fire the net.
We got her.
Get the cage. Easy, then.
Watch out for that beak. Watch out.
Good job. Break out the rum!
Break out the rum!
Break out the rum!
Are
wants to come aboard, Captain.
Hey, shall I cut the line and let him drop?
I lots of thinking, Alfredo, but no, hold him in.
Jack is hauled on board. Plans are made for the attack upon the stronghold of the crazy sorcerer Mad Merlin Missoula. Not to be confused with the deceased Dr. Marlin Missoula, the gentle alchemist.
Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome. Alfredo assists Jack with the taming of the fierce Frombork.
Taming the fierce Frombork. Do's and don'ts.
Alfredo, are you sure you can tame this thing?
Well, it says here you can. Now let's see.
Have you ever trained a Frombork before?
Me, laddie? No.
Well, is there anyone here that's had some experience with these things?
Why, sure, but they all be sorcerers, and they don't share their secrets.
Well, who wrote the book?
Well, I don't know. It doesn't say it. Oh, here. Chief Wampum.
Chief Wampum? Hey, let me see that.
Taming the Fierce Frombork, Do's and Don'ts by Chief Wampum. Yes.
Holy smoke, it is by Chief Wampum.
Apparently you need a saddle.
A Frombork saddle?
Oh, here's a picture.
Well, that's not much of a saddle, is it?
Oh, no, it's not. Old Moth-Eaten Eddie can make something that simple.
Well, there's no reins, is there?
No. It most clear day looks to me like, yes, no?
No. I mean, there's no reins to steer the creature reins.
Oh, let me see. Operating the controls. Yes, yeah. Aha!
Yeah?
Telepathy.
With that thing?
Aye, she be fond of you.
How do you know it's a she?
Now, can't you tell, lad?
Well, actually, no.
It's by the long, curly eyelashes.
Ah. Well, what does it say about telepathy?
Yeah, wait a minute now.
You can foresee and communicate mentally, you see.
You know, the chief may be right about that.
Of course I'm right.
I was once practicing the art of farseeing and did accidentally make contact with a Frombork.
You learned the art to farsee.
Yeah.
So who needs this book? But...
A saddle is made after some difficulty. It's strapped onto the back of the caged Frombork. Meanwhile, Jack rubs the strange herb upon his body. The fumes calm his apprehensions. He relaxes as he slides into a semi-mentally limp, meditative state.
Well, Frombork, we're going for a trial flight, right? Right. Okay, I'm ready. Open the cage, Alfredo.
She's coming out. Are you ready to slip into the saddle?
Easy now. That's it. Okay. Release the chains.
The Frombork spreads its great wings and slowly rises from the deck, flapping off into the blue sky. The noble Frombork soars high above the green valleys and rolling hills. Jack, perched upon its back, enjoys the exquisite ease of its flight.
What a way to fly! Well, that's enough for the test flight. Now let's head for the ship. What do you say? You don't want to go back. Look, you don't have to go back into the cage. I don't care. I said we're going back. Now, come on.
The Frombork suddenly tucks in its wings and dives straight down.
Uh-oh. I think she's testing me.
Jack hangs on to the scaly neck. The ground rushes up at them. At the last moment, the Frombork opens its wings and screams, skimming the top of the ground. But yes. Jack hangs on. Yeah. The Frombork fires back up into the sky, rolling over and over, trying to unseat our brave hero.
Yahoo! Right up, Jackie!
Again, the Frombork dives, this time for the lake.
Uh-oh.
Straight down, head first, right into the water. And back out again. Back up into the sky. And then down again, this time for a grove of trees. Straight down. At the last possible moment, the Frombork opens its wings and shoots off across the woods, shredding the tops of the trees.
Ouch.
And up into the sky, the fierce Frombork, finally tamed, gracefully curves back toward the blue swallow.
Oh. Hey, they're cheering. Well, it's the first time anyone ever cheered me.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
What? Oh, my God. Now they're firing at us.
Hey, duck, duck.
Shoot. Hey, you really know how to step aside.
Hey, here comes another one. Duck. You missed.
They stopped. Come on, Frombork. We're going in. Hey, Alfredo, why the cheap shots?
That was Captain Swallow's orders.
Huh?
Admiral Zulu will be tossing a lot more in cannonballs.
Dusk descends. The clouds are tinted by the soft, rosy rays of the setting sun. A quietness settles upon the Blue Swallow. Jack and the Frombork exchange stories.
Yeah, I understand that, but let me tell you about this pirate queen. Yeah, that's the one. Well, you're not going to believe this, but... Huh? You know about the mustache. Oh. Well, that's how come they started calling me Marcel Duchamp, because the first time...
Captain Swallow wants to see you in his cabin.
Oh, okay, Alfredo. Listen, even when I look at a poster, pop, you know? It beats me.
Pronto, Flanders.
Right, right. Look, I'll tell you about Chief Wampum sometimes, okay? Sure. Oh, could be. Who knows?
The Blue Swallow silently slides through the night sky. The new moon slowly drops behind the mountains. Jack and the crew's quarters sleep soundly. A deep, heavy sleep.
Seen that ship before.
Where's the captain?
He's putting on his pants. What do you mean you've seen that ship?
It's the flagship of the Black Mona Lisa.
That's a sobering sight.
Yeah.
Heads up!
All hands on deck! Look alive!
Heads up!
We'll maneuver us into the class, Captain. That'd be a hell of a place to be at a mercy.
Who's mercy?
Heads up!
The Pirate Queen, that's who.
Hand me the glass.
Here you be, Captain.
Good. Now the other glass.
Aye. You see, Captain Swallow, there she stands, the Pirate Queen herself. Can I see, Captain?
See the way she be leaning over the telescope mounted upon the quarterdeck?
Aye.
See if you can drop a cannonball right on that sassy butt of hers!
Aye, aye, Captain!
Prepare for broadside! Prepare for broadside!
Meanwhile, on the flagship, the Pirate Queen observes Captain Swallow through her telescope.
What's he saying? Drop a cannonball right on that sassy butt of hers.
Maybe broadside in us, Captain.
Over my dead body. Jeez, that bastard friendly. Drop a cannonball into Captain Swallow's lap.
I try, mon capitaine.
Frenchie?
Oui.
Do it for me, Frenchie.
Where's the rest of the crew?
I think some still be sleeping, Captain.
Flanders!
Yes, sir?
Get below and wipe the rest of my crew, for God's sake.
Aye.
Heads up!
Captain, should we tell Flanders?
I tell him about what really happened to the child and what he's getting into riding that Fromberg up there with the mad sorcerer.
Oh, God! Don't mention any of this to that twit Barnes. There's a sure way of getting rid of him once.
Heads up, Captain!
What?
The captain be hit!
Knocked his breath out?
No, cease the flight of a cannonball with his great belly.
Oh, that's tough.
Call Physician Floyd!
The angel of death. Beyond the way, lads. The sassy buccaneer plopped me one in me lap. The last seconds of my existence, mate. Picking. Oh. Hark. Oh, here's the blue bird of eternal happiness calling to me. Oh, I'll be leaving now. To where the clouds be forever fluffy and the winds forever.
Getting a bit fierce, ain't he?
Captain. Alas, I'll bid farewell to my crew who have served me so faithfully.
Captain, Captain.
What do you want?
Who'll be the new captain?
You, Alfredo. You'll be the new captain?
No, thank you.
Why not?
We're losing the battle, Captain.
Well, then you, Horntoad.
Sorry, but no.
Heads up!
What about Old Crow?
Well, I'll ask you.
Old Crow, you want to be captain?
You kidding?
He doesn't want to be captain.
What about Physician Floyd?
No.
What about Orly O'Lyle?
Oi, no.
Old Morgan Eddie?
Still asleep, though. That would be a dirty trick to pull on him.
No one wants to be captain, Captain.
Aye, we all know what the bloody pirate queen will do to whoever's captain.
Is, Flanders still below?
Aye, I believe so.
Well, bring him up and make him captain. What was the question?
He got a little maudlin toward the end.
Well, that happens to the crustiest of us.
Well, shall we make Flanders captain?
The bloody pirates will soon be swarming our decks.
It was Captain Swallow's last request.
Why not?
Aye, why not?
Better tell the crew.
Aye. Listen to me. Captain Swallow be dead. The pirate queen will be boarding us soon. She'll be looking for a captain to skin. So, guess who's the new captain?
Flanders! Aye!
Heads up!
Yeah! Listen, Flanders. Captain Swallow caught a cannonball.
Caught a... Well, how is he?
Dead.
Dead? Are you sure?
Plain possum? No. Ask Physician Floyd.
It's his throat. Slipped between the cracks. I had it.
God. Here you be, Flanders.
Captain's caught.
But
Captain's...
Well,
the captain's boots.
Well, hey, you're not making me captain, are you?
Actually, me.
The pirates be coming alongside.
What do we do? Oh, no, you don't. Not me.
They're putting the hooks to us.
Cut. Shall we stand and fight?
Look, for the last time, I am not your captain.
Come on, let's border and take those curtains.
They're boarding us, Captain.
Maybe we should just give up.
Captain Swallow never done that.
Well, I don't care what Captain
the
Swallow...
The one she don't skin will have to walk the plank.
In the skyship?
Aye. Sometimes even the ones she skins has to walk the plank.
Aye.
Oh, God. All right, men. Let's fight.
Aye, Captain. Kill!
The pirates swarm onto the ship, daggers clenched between their yellow teeth, cutlasses gripped in their scarred fists, mischief in their swim eyes. But Captain Swallow's crew fights gallantly.
Captain Jack.
Lee, I beg your pardon?
Captain Jack.
But Captain Jack's crew fights gallantly. Jack swings his magic broadsword, discharging lightning at random.
Ah!
The
cojones!
Oh, sorry.
No!
Sorry.
Captain Jack.
Yes.
Sir, might I suggest this cutlass steady your broadsword?
Oh, a cutlass? Whoa. How do you look? Oh. Oh, sorry.
Oh, that's all right, Captain. It's all right. I have another arm.
We're kidding, of course. Oh, God, this thing is sharp, isn't it? Oh, sorry.
Captain, don't turn around. Maybe you'd better set this one out before you skewer the whole crew.
Well, I'm sure that once I get the hang of it,
Where is he? Where's the one that calls himself Marcel Duchamp?
Uh-oh. What was that Mojo used to say? Feet don't fail me now.
Marcel Duchamp is a lily-livered, yellow-streaked turkey.
Captain Jack.
What?
You must quit running and fight for the honor of great Duchamp.
Well, that's a point. All right. There's no place to run anyway. I'm going to fight.
I've been waiting a long time for this, Marcel, Marquis, Captain Jack, whatever you call yourself.
Yikes, she's good.
Aye, some say she be the best.
Aha!
Good grief. God!
Ouch! Missed.
Ouch! Captain Jack!
What?
Put on your top hat.
My top hat?
Wow.
Missed, damn.
The Marquis of Carambas was a great swordsman in his day, they say.
Really?
Here you go.
Oh, thanks.
Your cape, sir.
I might as well.
Are you ready?
Hey, Alfredo. I do feel a little bit different.
Sheesh.
Aha.
Hey. Yes. Not bad. Wait, stop a second.
What?
That top hat looks familiar.
But it once belonged to the Marquis of Carambas.
So. Good.
Yeah!
Oh, she whacked the top clean off his hat, alas.
Now I'm going to get you. Hey, are you fading on me?
Yep. So long. See you around.
So long, my foot.
The Pirate Queen suddenly leaps at Jack's fading image, grabbing for his chuckling throat.
Oh, my goodness, they both disappear.
Through this night? From the shore and in my We can ride the surf together while our love will grow. In my Woody, I will take you everywhere I know. So I say, the minute you, I will make your dreams come true. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?
What from Pedro Show? That was Mr. David Thomas Perubu doing Surfer Girl. Trippy version. Before that, we had Mark Bolan live on the radio about 33 years ago. Baby Strange. Before that, about 25 years ago, the Reactionaries, Georgie's Garage, across the street from Pedro High. A song called 1979. Much respect to Martin Tamborovich. Rest in peace. Christy picked that one. Thank you. Before that, Yasmin the Light by Explosions in the Sky. Joe Boone, D. Boone's little brother. Well, not so little. He's in his 40s. It's trippy, huh? Just a couple years means a big difference when you're junior high school. Or middle school, they call it. Anyway, that's his favorite band, he said, Explosions in the Sky. And so that's for you, Joe Boo. And we start out with part 7, Incredible Adventures of Jack Flanders. Incredible. Flying on a Fromborg. Incredible. How the story weaves itself around your mind. Okay, here, I played this gig out here in November a few months ago on the Queen Mary in Long Beach. I could have paddled my kayak there. You know, I haven't paddled or pedaled since. Day before my birthday, and I went over the handlebars and hurt my forearm. I wanted it to heal right. Oh, and by the way, February 29, it is a heavy date. Only every 4 years, but 4 years ago today was when I had my surgery. It saved my life from that sickness, which the new record's about. So in a way, it's good it only comes every 4 years, because that was a nightmare. That whole pilgrimage. Anyway, getting back to this gig I was telling you about, the Queen Mary with the Stooges. Well, I played with the Stooges on the Sunday, and then the day before was with George Hurley. We did a bunch of old Minutemen songs I hadn't done in a long time. But another band on the bill, in fact, played maybe just before us, was Mission of Burma, Boston band, great band, and Sharon Lee sent me a recording of this very gig I'm talking about. So here it is on the Watt from Pedro Show. Whoops.
Thanks a lot, Mr. Fish. Once I had my river, once I had my dream, but all the that is changed. You can make it my life. Another part of changing, the virtues of the same. The father taught us sound. They all make me my girl.
Is this what they call emo? Let's get some Bukowski.
Don't come round, but if you do, yeah, sure, I'll be in unless I'm out. Don't knock if the lights are out or you hear voices, or then I might be reading Proust if someone slips Proust under my door, or one of his bones for my stew. And I can't loan you money or the phone or what's left of the car, though you can have yesterday's newspaper, an old shirt or a bologna sandwich, or sleep on the couch if you don't scream at night. And you can talk about yourself, that's only normal. Hard times are upon us all, only I'm not trying to raise a family to send through Harvard or buy hunting land. I'm not aiming high. I'm only trying to keep myself alive a little longer. So if you sometimes knock and I don't answer, and there isn't a woman in there, maybe I have broken my jaw, you know, and I'm looking for wire, or I'm chasing the butterflies in my wallpaper. I mean, if I don't answer, I don't answer, and the reason is that I'm not yet ready to kill you or love you or even accept you. It means I don't want to talk. I am busy. I'm mad. I'm glad. Or maybe I'm stringing up a rope. So even if the lights are on and you hear sound like breathing or praying or singing, a radio or the roll of dice or typing, go away. It is not the day, the night, the hour. It is not the ignorance of impoliteness. I wish to hurt nothing, not even a bug. But sometimes I gather evidence of a kind that takes some sorting. And your blue eyes, be they blue, and your hair, if you have some, or your mind, they cannot enter until the rope is cut or knotted, or until I have shaven into new mirrors, until the wound is stopped or opened forever.
Thank you, Mr. Bukowski, for illuminating certain feelings we all must have without getting too sanguine about it.
Call first.
It's not your blue eyes. It's that odor. No. Brother Matt, thank you very much for your vital assist in this Watt from Pedro show.
For a special leap day session.
Leap day. Cutting day. Life-saving day for Lot. So, I'm going to flash back to that situation, huh? Anyway, we're back in the swing of things. We can do shows again.
Yeah.
Out of record mode. I can't play you the new record yet. I've been asked by the team to keep it under wraps. But soon I will. And Looks like the debut's going to be in England at this Altamar party thing. Cool. On the 27th of March, where I play the whole thing live. Then when I go out and tour it in May, that's what I'll be doing. You come to the Watt gig, you get to see the whole Second Man's Mill stand piece done for you. Along with myself, Pete Mazich, Jerry Trebitich.
And it'll be in the stores when?
April 27th is what I'm told is going to be dropped.
Cool.
And other stuff coming up too, of course. And I'll keep you posted on that. Maybe next week? Another show, huh?
Yeah.
Coming up. We're back in our swing. At least get a couple in before I go to Japan.
Yeah.
That would be great. Maybe even finish Mr. Flanders. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Huh? Jack in his chair.
Jack in his chair. It is Fromborg. And so anyway, it feels good to be here again and playing the tunes and spieling like I do. Thank you very much, Brother Matt. Here at the Love Grotto, the Pleasure Point, somewhere west of the Rockies, north of the equator, Pedro, home of the Angel's Gate. I took all the pictures on the next record, so actually you'll get to see the Angel's Gate.
Cool.
You get to see how the sun looks, too. I've been flowing shots, Brother Matt. Those AM,
awesome.
Eye poppers.
I don't have to get up so early.
Okay, everybody. Thanks much. Have us back. Keep your powder dry.